wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The law still stands. The few preachers who ever preached to kings are usually noted more for their big vocabulary than for having a message from God. But once, a preacher from the wilderness, a man of God, the greatest of all prophets, preached to a proud king. He took two texts from the Ten Commandments and preached them without fear of the king. Here are his texts. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He charged King Herod with stealing the wife of his own brother Philip. To all the king's excuses and arguments, he just held up God's holy commandments and preached this simple sermon, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Many are glad that that faithful preacher had his head cut off, and instead of such, there is an educated ministry that is schooled in the technique of pleasing their audiences, and, of course, not meddling with family affairs or personal matters, but just lecturing on their philosophy of religion. But that holy law of God still stands, and it thunders from heaven its commands to this wicked and adulterous generation. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. People may argue down the preacher. They may be given public approval because of such common practices. Yes, they may be upheld by the divorce court. But when all divorce papers have gone up in smoke, we will still see those holy and eternal words, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, John the Baptist's sermon was positive, uncompromising. It hit its target. "It is not lawful for thee to have her." He gave none of his opinions, but just preached the word of God. He did not cleverly explain away God's commandments, but he preached them. No human argument could tone down God's "thou shalt not," nor could common practice make it allowable. Herod could not deny his sin, for he did it. He could not excuse it as being suddenly induced and being overcome with passion and yielding, for he continued in it. Herod had heard that law before, but he put his desires before God's demands. He would not shake his fist at heaven to defy the living God, but by his continuance in forbidden sin, he was challenging God to stop him. Herod, like so many in our day, had already jumped over the fence of God's prohibitions and was running wild in the prairie of man's self-indulgences. I repeat that. Jumped over the fence of God's prohibitions and was running wild in the prairie of man's self-indulgences. And I am preaching to multitudes who are wild and racing hither and thither on that big prairie where there are no fences, but each one is bent on self-gratification without the fear of God or regard for man. I may look like a fool to preach to such, but my God will not let his word fail. It will reach some ears. It will touch some hearts. It will change some lives. In this assurance, I proclaim God's holy commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why did our Lord Jesus prophesy 2,000 years ago of the people of our day as a wicked and adulterous generation? We see that prophecy fulfilled before our eyes, a generation noted for its wickedness and whose crowning sin is adultery. Today, the alcoholic problem is perplexing. The youth problem is gigantic, but at the root of these is the adultery evil. It wrecks the homes so children have nothing to anchor to. It drives people to try and forget their sorrows by getting drunk. I believe it to be the most deadly evil and the hardest problem to answer. So we approach it in dependence upon heavenly light. Religious teachers of our day would have rebuked John, saying, "Herod is a Gentile, and the law was given to the Jews. That has nothing to do with him." But John, like Paul, would have replied in the words of Romans 3:19, "What things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Who then is under the law? Listen,
that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Who? Every mouth. All the world. Has God forbidden the Jew to steal his neighbor's wife and allowed the Gentile to do so? The law of God had to do with Herod, and it has to do with you. And that is not all, neighbor. You have to do with it. For in the day of judgment you will be judged by, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and by, thou shalt not commit adultery. The law of Moses had two parts. There was the ceremonial law and the moral law. The ceremonial law had its rules as to the kind of meat to eat, the holy days to observe, and the ordinances to keep. This ceremonial law was nailed to the cross of Christ, and God took it out of the way. Read the plain words of Colossians chapter 2. When people say you have to keep a seventh-day Sabbath to be saved, and if you eat hog meat, you'll be damned, that theory denies the cross of Christ. And instead of the cross, it sets up the ceremonies of the law. After that, God, not Paul or Peter, but God took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. Those ceremonies typified Christ. He fulfilled them and removed their demands at Calvary. But the moral part of God's law never changes. Thou shalt not steal is for one and all, whether stealing a man's money or running off with his wife. Men and women, too, may go from the divorce court to the marrying parson and repeat the cycle while they sit with a high head in the church pew. But were John the Baptist to enter the pulpit, they would squirm under his sermon. It is not lawful for thee to have her. Our Lord did doubly make one exception, but only one, in the matter of divorce, and that was for the known unfaithfulness of one's mate. See Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. But Herodias had not divorced Philip for his immorality, but like those of our day, she left her husband to run after another man. And Herod had thus broken at least three of God's commands. He had coveted his neighbor's wife, he had stolen her from him, he was living in adultery with her, and he blackened the ugly picture by trying to hide his sin by calling her Herodias, or Mrs. Herod, instead of Mrs. Philip. God's word says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Herod also took Philip's daughter, and that lewd young woman only darkened the picture of wholesale immorality. We are told today, if you want to do a thing, it's just as well to do it. Our Lord Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount declared that lustful desires in the heart make one guilty before God, for God knows man's thoughts. But when a person puts that desire into action, he is doubly guilty. Guilty of the sin of desire and guilty of the deed of wickedness. We must be clear on these matters in days when our youths are being taught self-expression. Lustful desires are shameful and dangerous too. No human heart can stand before our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. All are exposed, all are guilty. When Herod lusted after his brother's wife, that was wicked before God. But for him to run off with that wife and daughter, that was double wickedness. When we find sinful desires in our hearts, condemn them, confess them, and put the brakes on them, lest they become wicked deeds. And they cannot without the decision of our own wills. But Herod, bent on self-gratification and blind to God's retribution, stole Philip's wife and didn't return the stolen goods but kept her. John charged him with his continuance in his sin. It was too late for Herod to undo the past, but not too late to repent and turn from his evil way. And so it is with you, neighbor. You are verily guilty before God's law and our Lord's sermon. God calls upon you. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And he promises, let the wicked forsake his way, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him. But Herod, instead of repenting, staged a big birthday celebration and cut off the head of the preacher that called him to repentance. Yet Herod could not annul God's word. It stood, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not commit adultery. But some, having gone so far in their sin, think it too late to correct, and they plunge deeper into sin by adding one divorce to another. Oh, my neighbor, no matter what kind of a fix you are in, there is hope in God, and there is something you can do about it. 2. If anyone could contest his point and say, if a man killed another, what could he do about it? Men killed God's Son, but Peter told them what they could do. They could repent and save themselves from that wicked generation. This is an adulterous generation, but we can be saved from it. No man needs to continue in sin. The prodigal had gotten into an awful mess in that hog pen, but he didn't need to stay there. He left it. I have not the answers to every man's problems, but God has. Make a start today. God has a most merciful path for the most repentant man. Get right with God and then straighten up with your fellow men. If you have wrecked another's home, scattered the children to the four winds, and driven a man to despondency, God has the answer. If it costs you something, why shouldn't it? Your sin cost your neighbor a plenty. Here's what happened in a heathen village when the chief got converted. He felt he should only have one wife, so he called his five wives together, giving one-fourth of all his possessions to each of the four of them, and the one who wanted him and loved him with nothing was to be his wife. And God has an answer for your predicament. To that seemingly hopeless Herod, God gave his greatest opportunity. By most unusual happenings, there stood before Herod Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to save sinners. This was the most important hour of all Herod's life. What could Herod do? Just what you can do. He could have fallen at Jesus' feet and, confessing his sin, asked the Lord Jesus to save and change him. Neighbor, I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for harlots and adulterers, for whoremongers and for fornicators, and for those whose thoughts have been blackened by such lust. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He waits for you to call upon him for salvation. But Herod, hardened by sin, he wouldn't have Jesus, for he wanted that wicked woman. What a choice. Herod mocked Jesus and set him at naught. Now don't you do as Herod, but turn from your sin today. Choose Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Then put your case into his worthy hands. He will solve your problems for you. Will you now call on the Lord Jesus to save you, to change your life, and to be the answer to all your polluted past and your perplexing future? He can be, he will be, when you call upon him. Do it right now. Neighbor, we are all ruined by the fall of Adam. We are under sin. And we are all cursed by God's holy law, which we have broken. We are wicked in our hearts and sinful in our lives. We have no righteousness and no goodness. So this is God's verdict on all, on you and on me. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It will do us no good to bemoan our sad plight. We must do something about it. But what can we do? Here's what I have done, and this is what you can do. In repentance, I've owned up to my sin and guilt, and I've sought God's mercy, and I've called on the Lord Jesus to save me as I turned to him in faith as my Lord and my Savior. And he did save me. And he's willing and ready to save you too, right now. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, behold, now is the day of salvation for you. Let it not pass, and find you still lost in your sins without the Savior. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.